In the interest of time, we'll go on to our gospel reading day, John 17. And this is a selection for this Sunday, Ascension Day. It actually goes back in time to when Jesus was with his disciples for the last time before he's arrested. And what we have here is a prayer of Christ for his 11 disciples. And then as the prayer progresses, it's a prayer for us. We're included. And so we'll listen to Jesus pray in John 17 as we read God's word. At verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that I too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory that you gave me, and that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. Scripture for the sermon is John 17, the gospel reading today. Title of the sermon is Listen to the Prayer of Jesus for His Disciples and Us. And now we'll ask God's blessing. Lord, we ask for your word to come to us and make the changes that we need. And Lord, we ask that we would agree with you. We pray that we would learn from our Savior. We ask that the preaching would be faithful and that you, O God, would be our rock and our redeemer. Amen. John 17 has a traditional title for the chapter. It's called The High Priestly Prayer of Christ. And what we have in the Old Testament ahead of this, and if you could ask one of my catechism students, they could give you a very good explanation of this. We see prophets like Moses, for example, who hears God's word and teaches people, and many other prophets after him, and Jesus being our great and final prophet, right? He revealed the Father to us. He's the great and final prophet in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 in the introduction. So that's part of his work. He was a king. He was born king. He was from the line of David. David was promised a throthrone. And what do? Kings rule. And we also have the office of priest in the Old Testament, that you bring your sacrifice, your lamb or a ram or other required animal sacrifices. And we come to the New Testament and we see that these things look forward to the death of Christ. And the death of Christ paid the price. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that the blood of bulls and goats did not take away sin, but it was a once-for-all sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so Jesus was a priest. A priest makes sacrifice. What did he sacrifice? He sacrificed himself. He was the Lamb of God. He was both the priest and the offering. And before a priest would make the offering, he would pray for the people for whom he would make the sacrifice. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's praying. He's praying for us. Now, sometimes our prayers are not the best, and sometimes it's due to the fact we don't pray enough, we're not in good practice, and other times we tend to pray about the things that are most important to us. We used to have a prayer group that would meet in the church, older ladies from way back, early years, a long time ago, and one time my wife would go there as a young lady and join them, and one time we had a teacher from home missions, and she came, she listened to people pray, and she said, you know, it's good that you're praying about your concerns, but you need to start with the kingdom of God. You know, that's how the Lord's Prayer starts, with what God wants. And so Jesus here is praying for us, and it's like the perfect prayer ever, right? I mean, if anybody could pray, Christ could pray. And so we look at his prayer, we listen to his prayer, and we learn a lot, and it corrects our thinking. It corrects our bad theology. So as we're reading, we see clearly that salvation does not all depend upon us. And someday, if we get to heaven, if we're Christians, we're going to give God praise for his salvation. We're not going to be patting ourselves on the back for any part of it. In this passage, Jesus prays for his disciples because he's about to go to the cross, and he entrusts his disciples into the care of his Father because he's been watching over them. This is how the prayer goes. And he said, I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They've obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you. They believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. And so Christ is praying for his people because he's about to die, about to go to the cross. And he indicates that his disciples were given by the Father to Christ the Savior. They were yours. You gave them to me. They have obeyed your word. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. So we see God's hand. We see God's hand before we see the reaction of man. We come to salvation through the grace of the triune God. We don't deserve it. And our Lord was not praying for everyone in the world. And we need to think about this. He said, I'm not praying for everybody. Praying for my people that you gave me. And we see the purpose of being a disciple. Verse 10, all I have is yours, all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. What's the purpose of being a disciple? If you're a disciple today, your purpose in life is not to please yourself. Your purpose is to bring glory to Christ. And that's what it's about. Their disciples are all about bringing glory to Christ. And here's what a disciple does. In verse 7 to 8, we see, now they know everything you have given me. It comes from you. I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. So Jesus teaches his people, and what does people do? They accept it. They don't reject it. They don't rebel against it. They accept it. And he goes on to say that they were yours in verse 6. You gave them to me and they have obeyed your word. This is what disciples do. They obey. They obey the word. And there's this knowledge that disciples have, and I trust you have it today, They knew that Jesus came down from heaven, that's what we said in the Nicene Creed, came down from heaven to do the will of the Father. They knew with certainty that it came from you, and they believed you sent me. Does that describe you? Okay, I trust, as it does, it's an encouragement. You're seeing the evidence of faith in your life. And they believed, in contrast to Judas Iscariot, because Jesus said later, he said that while I was with them, I protected them, and I didn't lose anybody except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. It was a plan of God. The one doomed to destruction, and Jesus has indicated in this gospel ahead of time in John chapter 6, where people's making a confession for all the disciples. He said, here's what we believe, and Jesus corrects it, and he said, you know, one of you is the devil. And of course, he's referring to Judas. And later during the supper, he identified him. Lord, who's going to betray you? One of you is going to betray me. Who is it, Lord? He gives a piece of bread dipped in at the meal to Judas. And Judas went out to, he betrayed Jesus at the olive grove at Gethsemane. And so he's the one that's doomed. He's the one that was lost. But all the others were kept by the power of God. Jesus, the good shepherd. And we see in the next paragraph, where he goes on to pray for God's protection for his disciples. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them, kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things, I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. They are not of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Why do we need protection? Because of the devil, because of the evil one. I think of my college roommate who got interested in boxing, and he bought the gloves and headgear, and he wanted people to box him. And there wasn't much interest in our dormitory on that, and he just couldn't get anybody. And finally, he asked one older student who was a very gentle person, and he had had a stint in the Navy, and he found out that he had done boxing in the Navy. And so we watched this little sparring match. I think they might have gone 2.5 rounds, and it was pretty exhausting. They spend a lot of energy doing that. And my roommate, you know, he was so excited about, you know, learning how to box, and he landed a good punch on Jerry, who was so gentle. And Jerry came to life and showed that he had boxing in the Navy, and he gave my roommate such a thrashing. I had clearly underestimated the person that I was looking at. And we underestimate the devil who wants to take us down to destruction. Without our Lord's protection, it would be like us getting into the ring with, I don't know the new fighters now, but in my day, Muhammad Ali. And they would have taken your head off. And we wouldn't stand a chance. Well, that's the devil. And he's been studying your family for generations, and he knows all about you, and he knows the weakest point of attack. And without God's protection, you wouldn't make it. Our Lord told Peter, he said, Lord, you know, I just love you so much. I'll always be faithful to you. And Luke reports in chapter 22 and verse 31, Jesus turned to him and he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, your faith may not fail. And that's the actual truth of it. Without God's protection, we would go down to hell so fast. And so Jesus is praying in our passage that the Holy Father would protect his disciples. And in our faith, we believe in the perseverance of the saints, that genuine Christians persevere by the preservation of God. You know, Judas was doomed to destruction. And there are people today that profess faith and they fall away. And some of them never come back. And some of them disavow the faith. And that was happening even in the days of the apostles. And Apostle John wrote in 1 John 2, his letter, "They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us." And so we have Jesus praying that the Holy Father would protect his disciples in verse 11, so that they may be one as we are one. So there was no quarrel between the Father and the Son. We have, you know, this relationship that's perfect. And the reason for that he wants his disciples protected is so that they may be one, that there would be unity. They would have unity like the Father and the Son. And it wouldn't be like a group of individuals, but they would be able to come together and work together. And during his earthly ministry, Jesus completely protected all the genuine disciples. He said, "While I was with them, I protected them, kept them safe by that name that you gave me. And none has been lost except for Judas." And so the Father's protection was especially needed to preserve the unity of the disciples. And later reflection on his prayer would, as we read it now, it should give us joy. And he said, I'm coming to you now, he's saying to the Father, "but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." As you read the words, it fills you with joy. As you read the words, you think about Jesus departing this life and going to the Father. And this is for the Christians too, that when we depart this life, we have some place to go that's good. We're going to be with God. And it gives us joy. We have Jesus saying in verse 14, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world." So what happens if you receive the word of God? Well, you receive it as a disciple, but the world then, the system opposed to God, is going to hate you, and they hated the disciples. And Jesus prayed that there would be this protection from the evil one also as another enemy. The disciples, he said, were not of the world, even though they would be in the world. And that's an important distinction. It's not like we can escape and set up some utopia somewhere where there won't be any problems, you know. We maybe wish for that in the back of our mind, but we're in the world. But we're not of the world. And the disciples, in verse 17, the prayer of Jesus is that he would say, "Sanctify them by the truth. Sanctify them by the truth." Now that word means that we're going to be cleaned up, that we're going to be set apart. And the idea of being a saint, for instance, doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that you're set apart to God. And this idea of being sanctified is being cleaned up. So the way you are now today should be a big improvement spiritually from where you were 5 years ago. Because you receive the word, you're training yourself with that word. And this is what Christ prays for. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So you're not going to be cleaned up without the word of God. That's a very important part of the process. And we see churches today turning away from the word of God. And so what's going to come of that? Just terrible things. Future disciples are, I think I jumped a spot here, I'm sorry. So we have in verses 18 and 19 the teaching that the apostles are sent by Christ in verses 18 and 19. "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified." So here's what the church needs to do. It needs to go out into the world as Jesus is sending the apostles out now, and we need to be doing that work of missions. And so our Lord then goes on in the next paragraph to pray for future generations of disciples. He's thinking about 2,000 years or however long, much longer it's going to be. All the believers, in verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone, these 11. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And what's the prayer? That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Our Lord prays for unity. And we're included in this prayer. Future disciples are those who come to faith through their message. And so we believe the gospel of Peter and Paul. And that's the gospel we want to preach. And when we do that, we come to faith through that apostolic message. And our Lord prayed then that for our connection with the Father and the Son in verse 21, I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. And so our Lord prayed for our connection with the Father and the Son, and also our connection with the early apostles who bring the gospel. And in churches today, people are disconnecting from the gospel of the apostles to be proclaiming a gospel of 2024, and that is not going to bring about good things. And here's a prayer, that all of them may be one. That all of them may be one. We're talking about a Christian unity here. The Bible often talks about the unity of the Spirit. Some years ago, after being working at camp for, about 22 years, it came to me to be the camp director. And ahead of that, we had some staff that would be quite critical, and things didn't sometimes have a lot of cooperation. There was some conflict that was behind the scenes that others didn't maybe know about, but it affected our work. And so when I got to be the director of the camp, and there's, 150 people at camp, and then, 20, sometimes almost 30 staff. We'd have a staff meeting. I would read the passage you read today from Philippians 2 about how Christ was a servant and his mind was to serve God. And I told him, I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to work together. And if we have problems, one of us falls down, the rest are going to help pick them up. And we're going to have a united front. We're here to serve Christ. And it's not about you. It's about Christ. And we're going to work together. And if that's not going to be your attitude, there's the door. So I said, there's the door. And we weren't there just to have warm bodies. We had a great staff every single year. And this is where you have to be. Kids come to camp, some of them from broken homes, some of them from other conflicts. And, they need to know there is a place where people can get along, work together, love one another. And that's a calling for the church. That in the church, we care about each other and we work together. And there's this unity, like the Father and the Son, that Jesus prays for, not merely once, but a few times in his prayer. Talk about the spirit of unity, and it's so important. And I give you credit, because I wouldn't be here today if I wouldn't have people's cooperation. That I can tell you. Pastors don't stay if there's not people to work with them. Christian unity is a testimony that would be used to bring people to faith. You think about our prayer today. It wasn't my Father. It wasn't forgive me. It was our Father who is in heaven, plural. It's prayed in community. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. It's more than just individuals walking down the garden path with Christ. It is the church. And Jesus is praying for his people that there would be unity. And from that would be glory. People would know there's a God and they would praise God. And so where does that Christian unity come from? With Jesus, Christian unity would show that Jesus came from the Father in verse 22. And we see that Christian unity would show the love of the Father for his people. And so we hear the prayer of Jesus. We've read it. I trust you will read it quite often so that you're familiar with it and value those things for which Christ prayed. He prayed for God's grace, you know, this knowledge that we were given to him by the Father. Appreciate the Father's protective care. And pray, you know, deliver us from the evil one. The devil wants to attack this church. The devil hates the church. The sanctifying work of God, you know, that we'll be changed and cleaned up. And our spiritual unity with all Christians everywhere. And we have this featured even in the protective care of God in the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. Let's pray. Father God, make us knowledgeable of your will. Make us desiring the things that Christ prayed for his 11 disciples and for us. Bring these things to pass in our lives and in this church and in your church everywhere. We pray in the name of the ascended Christ. Amen.